had finished studying in Luke chapter number 8 earlier this week, and just didn't really have any peace about preaching that this morning, the latter part of John chapter 8, excuse me. And so as I was praying and studying and preparing, a line in this scripture that I read to you this morning came to my mind, and I just knew that this was what I needed to preach. I know there's some of you may not understand that. Well, how can you study one thing and then all of a sudden switch? Well, I'll let you take that up with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I try and be as obedient as I possibly can. There are sometimes, I want to say this, there are sometimes that I miss the mark. I know that shocks you. There are sometimes that I completely miss the prodding of the Holy Spirit. And then there's other times where I ask the Lord to make me sensitive and to let me listen and to pay attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people look for the Spirit of God to move in their lives, and they want Him to do something that is catastrophic. Don't wait until the Lord moves catastrophically in your life before you listen to Him. You go back and look at Elijah when Elijah was there on the mountain by himself, and he didn't understand all of what was going on, and the Lord sent a whirlwind, and he wasn't in the whirlwind. There was an earthquake the earthquake came. There was a great fire that came, and God wasn't in those things. But the Bible specifically says, in a still, small voice. Now, if He spoke to the prophet Elijah in a still, small voice, how do you think He speaks to you and I when He ministers to our heart through His Word, ministers to our heart, and gives us what we stand in need of? So don't wait for something catastrophic or something incredible to happen before the Lord gets your attention. That's why I'm not too keen on these people that say, man, I saw lightning, or, you know, a tree fell on me. I hope you well medically, amen, if a tree fell on you. And it's sad that the Lord had to send a tree and make it fall on you before you knew what was going on spiritually. It's not really something to brag about, amen, that it took a great thing for God to get your attention. The Holy Spirit can move in incredible ways, and He does move many times as we view them in mysterious ways. And so all that's free. Let's look at Luke chapter number 12. The Bible says, in the meantime, verse number 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Time out. I don't know about you, but that's terrifying. Let's continue in verse number 3. And that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. the thought that kept coming back to my mind really last night and this morning was, fear not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I come to you asking you, Lord, for your help. I ask you, Lord, for your wisdom and your guidance. I ask you, Lord, for clarity of thought. Lord, I ask you that as you have changed directions this morning, I pray, God, that as I preach, it would help someone. I pray, Lord, if there be someone watching online that needs help, Lord, that you would help them. God, I pray that whatever way you decide to move, you would be glorified through it all. Lord, have your will and your way this morning as I stand to preach your word. Give me your power. In Jesus' name, amen. To understand what Jesus is saying, we need to understand the context that is here. Jesus is warning about the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, we've been talking a lot about Pharisees in John chapter, really, 5 through 8. And so I feel like that you guys have or should have a pretty good understanding of what a Pharisee was and who they were. But if not, real quick, a recap was a Pharisee was someone who religiously and morally appeared to be upstanding and right and holy and separated, but internally they were wicked and evil and ungodly and unholy. And so just because we wear a suit and tie does not mean that we are righteous with God. It means that we like to wear a suit and tie. That's it. This suit that I put on doesn't make me any more righteous or any more godly or any more right with God than anyone in this building. It is a piece of clothing that I choose to wear as I present myself before you on a Sunday morning in front of you, I don't know, 80, 100 folks, how many are people's here? And thank you for being here. I hope that I look presentable enough that you'll pay attention while I'm preaching. The context was here that the Pharisees, those who had the outward appearance of holiness and godliness, were in the place. And watch what Jesus says. He tells them in verse number 1 what the leaven of the Pharisees is. And the leaven of the Pharisees is, according to Jesus, hypocrisy. Or the playing of a part. The acting out of a part. Hypocrisy is a theatrical term, and it means to play a part that you are not really. And so the leaven of is hypocrisy, and something that we should understand about leaven is that leaven spreads, even in small amounts. It infiltrates the whole, and then it just goes out from there. And I would say salt would be a good, table salt would be a good example of leaven. Just a small amount will completely alter the taste of whatever food that you mix it into. And Jesus warns us because it just takes a little bit of hypocrisy, a little bit of playing the part in certain areas of our life, a little bit of showboating to alter our entire life. The reason that hypocrisy is named here is very simple. The Pharisees held the highest seats. They had the most power. They had the most money. They had the prestige. To associate with a Pharisee meant that you were rubbing elbows with the high class of society. Many want to be well known. They want to have friends in power. They want to have access to the prestige that it brings. So we as a society now begin to change and act or even how we dress or speak in order to obtain favor of those who were in Jesus' day called Pharisees. Now you may not say, or you may say, that doesn't apply to me, preacher, I would never do that. Well, the Apostle Peter did it, but he went in the opposite direction. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, Peter was there standing by the fire, and one of the scriptures says that Peter was confidently affirmed by one of the young ladies. Hey, you were with him. And Peter, instead of saying, yes, I am a Christian, yes, I stand with Christ, Peter cursed. He cussed so that he wouldn't seem like he was a Christian. Now, if it can happen to the great Peter who walked with Jesus, surely you and I are not immune to the wiles of the devil, the leaven of hypocrisy. So what is it that makes us want to do this? Well, I believe it boils down to two main issues in our lives. One is our self-worth, how we view ourselves. And then the other one is comparison, how we view others. Now, if you don't know, I want to give you some information real quick. Comparison is the thief of joy. And as long as you compare your life to someone else's life, you will never be happy nor satisfied with what God has given to you in your life. As long as you look at someone else and say, man, look at their vehicle. Man, look at their house. Man, look at their clothes. Man, look at what they got on. Man, look at that. I promise you, if you want to kill happiness and joy in your home, compare everything about your life to someone else that you think has it better than you. How we view ourselves and how we view others is the reason why we choose to assimilate with Pharisees many times. Now, Jesus knew this about us, and he began to speak directly to those issues. Listen to what he says in verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Did you know that God does not care whether you have on Nikes or Adidas? Do you know that God does not care if you get to wear Birkenstocks or the knockoffs? You're welcome, Lily. Do you know that God does not care if your suit is Armani or if it's the one you picked up for 15 cents at the Goodwill? It doesn't matter. Those are things that we pick up in our mind. Those are things that we think we should do. God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaks directly to those issues, and He says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them, not a single sparrow, is forgotten before God. And neither are you, friend, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value. You are of more value than many sparrows. In this innumerable crowd that it says here in verse number 1, no doubt someone there had felt forgotten by those that they looked up to. Someone in this crowd that's mentioned in verse number 1 has a low estimate of themselves. Someone in this crowd worried whether or not they had said the right thing to the right person. Someone worried if they were dressed just right. Someone worried if they had what it takes to be worthy of the presence of the Pharisees. But Jesus said, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? 2 farthings, 2 farthings. That equals 1 red cent. In our current money. Amen. The value of a sparrow was about 1/5 of a cent. And Jesus says you are more value than many sparrows. The hair on our heads are numbered. Now get this. The hair on your heads around 100,000. I don't know who counted them, but God bless them. We lose 50 to 125 hairs per day. And Jesus said that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You're of more value than many sparrows. We all face some sort of fear, some sort of anxiety, inferiority, intimidation. And Jesus says, fear not, therefore you have more value than many sparrows. Now the word sparrow doesn't necessarily mean the birds that we know as the species of a sparrow, but really any small bird. And we can look at that term, and if you will, I'd like to preach for a few minutes on ye are of more value than many sparrows. Maybe you just needed to be reminded of that this morning. I know I sure did. I thank the Lord that He has made me more valuable through the blood of His precious Son. And so the first thing that I want you to notice about this little sparrow that is so valuable to God, this little sparrow sings. You ever walked outside first thing in the morning? Maybe the sun is just breaking up over the horizon, and you think to yourself, man, what a beautiful sight. And about that time, some little bird just begins to chirp or to sing a pretty little song. Now that bird, all it knows is that its needs are met, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. All it knows is it's got what it stands in need of, and so that little bird just decides that right where it's at, it's just going to open up its little lungs and it's going to sing. And that little bird takes off singing, and there ain't nothing that you or I can do to shut that thing up. It just sings. It doesn't have to be the best one in the choir. It just sings. It doesn't have to be the greatest voice that you've ever heard. That little bird just sings. It doesn't have to be the most magnificent thing that you've ever had grace your ears. It just sings. The Bible speaks about this in Psalm 81 and verse number 1. The Bible says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. It makes me sick to my stomach. I've been in places, I'm going to go ahead and preach on this for a little bit. I've been in places, one of the things I love about Gateway, it don't matter whether you're the best singer in the world or whether you can't carry a tune in the bucket, we want you to sing. And it makes me sick to my stomach when somebody will determine who is worthy to praise God in the church house and who is not. We've got something severely wrong in churches all across America where we gauge the sound of a voice as somebody who is better to praise God than the person that's come through the greatest trial that they've ever went through. God help our churches. God help our churches that believe that only good singers get to praise the Lord. The scripture tells us, sing aloud and make a joyful noise. It might sound like a noise to you. It might sound like a noise to me, but the Lord gets glory out of it, and that's what counts, my friend. Psalm 95 and verse number 1, the Bible says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 98 and verse number 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You ain't got to sing good. We just want you to sing loud. Amen. It ain't got to sound great. It just needs to sound loud. That way God gets praise. See, it's not about you singing the song. It's about you giving glory to God. Lord, I ain't got much of a voice, but I'm going to lift it up to you. Lord, I'm not the greatest singer in the church house, but I'm going to lift it high to you. Lord, I'm not the best they'll ever hear, but I'm going to lift my voice and praise you. See, when the focus is taken off of the singer and placed on the Savior, it becomes a sweet sound in the saints' ears. Psalm 100 and verse number 1. I like that this little title, so I left it in here. It's a psalm of, yeah, you guessed it, praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Did you know that them drums that they beat on in the jungles of Africa glorify God just as much as the piano that we play in church? Woo! Y'all okay? Is it my flavor? No. Is it what I like? No. But that'll be all right. They're bringing glory to God. Amen. Did you know? Did you know that the sounds of things that I don't think are too wonderful are the sounds that God loves to hear? Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Hey, wherever you're at in the world, just go ahead and glorify God. Amen. Whatever you're involved in, if it's holy and right, glorify God in it. Make that joyful noise unto the Lord. Because you're doing it for Him, not for me, not for the church, not to get fame. This is what happens. You'll hear somebody say, man, that song sure does sound sweet, but boy, when the Spirit gets on that thing, it sounds a whole lot better. I remember one time I was going through YouTube, checking out videos, and there was a song that come on, and it was about something about, I don't even remember the name of the song, it was something about going through a storm of life. Man, I'm talking about it blessed my heart, blessed my soul. I had me a shouting time in my car. I was just having me a good time listening to that girl sing it. And I told my buddies that I worked with about it. I said, y'all got to hear this song. I was working up there at a funeral home. I said, I'm going to plug my phone in. Y'all got to hear this song, man. This girl sings better than anybody I've ever heard. I was blown away. This just, it was wonderful. I'm telling you, I got a hold of something this morning. And I plugged my phone in, and they put that thing up on the big screen at the funeral home. And we sat back and watched it. And that girl took off singing. And man, it was bad, y'all. And my friend looked over at me. If I called his name, some of you'd know him. He looked over at me. He said, is what you call good singing? I said, brother, it was different this morning in the truck. That's all I got to tell you. The Lord was in it this morning. The difference is whether or not God is in it. It's somewhat comical to see some folk that think that they're going to blow it out of the water get choked up. I know y'all ain't never seen that, have you? Yeah. I like when I get high and mighty and the Lord brings me down too. Sometimes I think, man, this message right here, this is going to knock their socks off. They're going to love this one right here, man. When I get done preaching this thing, I'm talking about altar's going to be full for 3 weeks. Get done and nobody moves, uh-huh. Because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That little sparrow, it just sings. What else that little sparrow do? Because you're more valued than many sparrows. Well, that little sparrow, it feeds and it eats. Their diet, a sparrow's diet, a small bird's diet, mainly consists of small seeds, and they're attracted to corn. Imagine that. They're attracted to oats and wheat. They enjoy those things. And during the spring and the summer, they're feeding their young, so they switch their diet to a more high protein, like insects and spiders. And they will readily eat items that are provided by humans as well. Miss Tara, she's got a little bird feeder that sticks onto the laundry room window. We got one little window in the laundry room that sticks on the outside of it. And we put it there, and that thing will, them little birds will come down and they'll land on it and they'll sit there. And I guess while she's doing the clothes or whatever, she watches those birds. And man, they sure do like it when a certain kind of food is in there, and they'll go down there, fly down, and them little birds will get fed. And every time I see it, I just think, man, the Lord's using us to feed some birds. My grandma, she was something else. She would take a stick and a 5-gallon bucket lid and screw the bucket lid upside down onto the top of the stick and drive a stick in the ground and put bird seed out there. It didn't look pretty, but it fed the birds. And the birds, they didn't care whether they was eating out of a nice concrete bird bath or whether they was eating out of a thing on the window or whether they was eating out of a 5-gallon bucket lid and a pole. They didn't care. They just went down there and ate because that's what their maker told them to do. Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26 says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? That word feedeth comes from the Greek word trepho, which means to nourish, to support, and even to fatten. One man put it this way. I'm going to read it as a poem, but it's a song. Some of you might recognize it. It says, I got up this morning and started my day. God's mercies was with me all of the way. His goodness stayed close by to meet all my needs. My Lord has taken good care of me. I'm counting my blessings as I journey along. Good friends, a family, and a place to call home. The church where I worship, the Bible I read. My Lord has taken good care of me. When Satan comes tempting and brings up my past, I tell him I'm forgiven and it's buried at last. The blood shed at Calvary now speaks for me. My Lord has taken good care of me. I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. And one day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure. Just look close, you'll see. My Lord has taken good care of me. That little old sparrow, it just feeds. It enjoys the provision of God. I got one more. That little old sparrow nests. In the spring and summer, the nest that they have is used for raising young. In the fall and the winter, it's a place of rest and roosting at night. Isaiah 4, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. I don't know what you're going through, little sparrow. I don't know what you're facing. But I know that there's a cover from the rain and the storm that you're in. I know that there's a refuge where you can go when life has gone too far. I know that there's hope when everything seems hopeless. I know that there's help when everything seems helpless. I know that there's a place where you can go in the middle of the night and you can roost there. You know something that I like about them little old chickens that we got running around there? They do something automatically. Automatically. We can let them things out during the day. They will free range all day. They will go all over every inch of property that I got. They will eat bugs all day long. But when the evening time starts coming, that old rooster will make a certain noise. It's incredible. And that means, girls, let's go to bed. And that's what he does. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? He'll make that noise and he starts walking toward the coop. He gets close to the coop. He walks in the coop and there's a coop. There's a little open area out there that's got chicken wire. And he'll get in the coop. And then he says, girls, sure enough, we go into bed. And he walks up into the little old coop that's, I guess, inside the pen. He gets in there and he gets up on his roost. And them girls better come in there with him. Now, we got a couple other roosters. And if I can just tell y'all, as the rooster turns right now down at our house, he won't let them other roosters in the coop. They sleep outside. He don't care how cold they are. Them roosters, they get huddled up together. And they'll keep one another warm. Them hens will get up in there and they'll keep each other warm. You can stick your hand, you can open up the door, stick your hand inside that coop, and there is a significant difference in the temperature versus inside and outside. And all it is chickens roosting. They just know what to do. They don't need nobody to tell them. They just know that it's time to go to roost. Come on, preacher. Now, if God give farm animals enough sense to get to safety when the night time comes. If God give farm animals enough sense to go to the barn when things get tough or when the storm begins to rage or when life gets difficult, if God did that for them, how much more sense do you think that He gave to the human beings that He created in His own image? Amen? and told us, I am the tabernacle. I am the place of refuge. I'm your light in the day. I'm your security at night. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He'll give you rest. Rest. Isn't it good to have a God that gives us rest? We can rest in the nest. Made that up myself. We can rest in the nest that God has provided for you and I. Psalm 71 and verse number 3 says, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. I like how the psalmist said that. Can I read that line again? Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. You're going to have to go back over and over again. Continually. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Isaiah 32, verse number 18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Psalm 90 and verse number 1, it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Psalm 84 and verse number 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Psalm 84 and verse number 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Selah. That word Selah, that's a musical term, and it means to stop, pause, wait. Biblically, it means stop and think about it. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. If I can give you a conclusion, I rarely do this. Usually I just cut it off. The Bible says in Psalm 20 and verse number 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Why? Because you are more value than many sparrows. Church, child of God, you're more value than many sparrows. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house. We thank you for the help and the strength that you have given today. Thank you for allowing me to preach. Thank you, Lord, the privilege to stand one more time behind your sacred desk. God, I pray, Lord, that you would open up the floodgates of heaven and you would pour out a blessing. So much so, Lord, there be not room to receive it in our hearts. We would overflow. And we would, in godly character and in godly love, care for and love those that we're in this thing with. God, help our church. God, help our people. Thank you, Lord, for valuing us. Thank you for loving us. Would you move in Jesus' name? Would you stand with us this morning while we sing?